20 quadrants? I don't have 20 quadrants to spare. That's outrageous.
Then you shouldn't have come on this journey. The tax is the tax, and you are on a Roman road.
But I had to come to Capernaum. Look, that's my young son on the donkey. He's been crippled since birth. We've come to see Jesus of Nazareth. We're poor folks.
What's the trouble here, Matthew?
No trouble, Julius. Nothing I can't handle without the Roman army.
It appears this man is refusing to pay his tax.
Please, sir, we've come a long way. There have been many taxes we've paid. I have no money left.
Then I'll have to arrest you.
No, my son, my poor boy.
It's all right, Julius. The law calls for a tax of only 20 quadrants.
You're not going to overlook the law.
Oh, no, sir. This man is my friend. See? I'm taking the coins out of my own purse to pay his tax.
Thank you, good sir.
You're getting soft, Matthew. A tax collector cannot be soft.
The law has been kept, Julius. On your way, good man, and may your son find healing from this Jesus of Nazareth.
Thank you, good sir. God will reward you.
And God doesn't reward tax collectors. Next, bring those camels here. Unload those packs.
Matthew's magnificent party.
The city of Capernaum was ideally situated on the international highway connecting the great centers of commerce. It was a great thoroughfare of travel, with merchants and travelers of many lands passing through the city. Here Jesus could meet people of all nations and all ranks, the rich and poor, the great and lowly, and his lessons would be carried to households in many other lands. Here, too, Levi Matthew, the tax collector, had his booth, set on one of the busy roads in Capernaum. From here, Matthew could watch the fishermen on the Sea of Galilee and keep track of their catch. Then he would charge them a tax on the fish they caught. Matthew could also stop the caravans coming from the north and south with their silks, spices, perfumes, and other treasures. Matthew stopped the farmers coming into Capernaum with their vegetables, fruits, and grains, for, according to the law of Rome, all had to pay taxes.
2 denarii? What do you mean, 2 denarii? Do you think I'm some rich landowner with 100 slaves working for me?
You are bringing in 3 donkeys loaded with wheat. According to the law, I should charge you 3 denarii in taxes.
Whose law? We follow the law of Moses. You follow the law of Rome, traitor.
2 denarii, Jacob of Bethsaida. I will need it in coin, or I must take it in wheat.
And how much do you think I'll get for this wheat? Perhaps 8 denarii? And then I'll have to pay the money lender for what I borrowed to get through the winter. And you, 2 denarii. We'll starve.
What's the problem here, Matthew? Another one of those stubborn farmers from Bethsaida?
I can handle it, Julius. I know these people.
All right. All right. 1, 2, 1 for Rome and 1 for you,
My share is much less, Jacob. I know you folks despise us tax collectors, but I'm an honest one.
There's no such thing.
Be on your way now, farmer.
Sometimes I think I'm too soft for this job.
I think I'll stay a while longer. Here come those troublemakers.
Julius, I think you're more a spy than a soldier. Well, what of it? Without you, I guess I wouldn't collect much tax. Fisherman, over here.
No one escapes the greedy eye of tax collector Matthew.
Which is worse, to be a fish and be caught by the sons of Zebedee, or be a fisherman and be caught by Levi Matthew?
Now, I have to give that some thought. Well, Levi, how much? Perhaps this time I'll have to sell my wife to pay you in Rome.
I have the amount down here, and it's a fair figure. Zebedee the fisherman, that'll be 20 quadrants.
Oh.
And James, son of Zebedee, that'll be 30 quadrants. Where's John today?
He's with Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth, I've been watching him.
Do you have a tax on words, Levi? And miracles? If so, you would charge Jesus 1,000 denarii.
Take it easy, Father. Levi is only doing his job.
Job? Robbing his own countrymen to pay the oppressor Caesar.
And be careful what you say, fisherman.
Why, Julius? Will you take my words to Rome and have my head cut
off? Careful, Father. It won't do any good.
When our deliverer comes, then we'll see who's boss, huh, Julius? We'll drive all of you, including tax collectors, into the sea.
Pay your tax and be on your way, fisherman.
There. 50 quadrants. 25 for Rome and 25 for you.
Perhaps 2 for me. I do my job honestly.
Perhaps you do, Matthew. Perhaps you do. Come on, Father. We have more important things to do. We must get the nets ready to catch more fish so we can pay more taxes.
More taxes.
Well, Matthew, looks like another good day, judging by the coins on the table.
This is a good time of year. The fish are plentiful. The waters are flowing from Mount Hermon. It's a blessed land, if only...
If only what?
If only we had more than hope. We're a people accustomed to being free.
And you believe this Messiah you speak about will set you free? Drive the Roman army into the sea?
It is promised in the scriptures.
Well, then, when that time comes, I'll say I know Levi Matthew. I'm sure that will be enough to spare me.
Julius, I think we'll both be destroyed together.
But you, Levi Matthew, are a Jew, one of those chosen people. How can your God do such a thing to one of his own? Enough of this frightening talk. This Jesus of Nazareth, some call him Messiah. What do you think?
I've been watching him and hearing about him. He's a mighty healer and preacher.
But he's just a peasant from Nazareth. He couldn't be your deliverer.
He speaks of a different kingdom, one of love and righteousness in the hearts of men.
Then we Romans have nothing to worry about. Our swords are more powerful than that. Well, here come some more people to tax.
Yes, and I believe... Yes... It's Jesus and some of his disciples.
Do you tax them?
They're coming here. Jesus is coming straight toward me. I wonder what he wants. He surely doesn't owe any tax. He's probably come to denounce me for being a tax collector.
Don't forget I'm here, Levi Matthew, with my sword.
Jesus came toward Levi Matthew at the toll booth. They stood for a few moments, looking at each other. Levi felt a strange power rising in his heart. How he wished he were not a tax collector, a servant of Rome. Then Levi heard Jesus speak the words,
"Follow me."
Follow him? Jesus was giving an invitation for the tax collector to follow him? He could hardly believe it.
Follow you? Well, I will, Master. I will follow you. Here, Julius, tell the authorities they'll have to find themselves another tax collector.
What? He's crazy, leaving all this to follow that poor peasant.
To Matthew in his wealth and Andrew and Peter in their poverty, the same test was brought. At the moment of success, when the nets were full and impulses of the old life were strongest, Jesus asked the disciples to leave all and work for the gospel. Holy Scripture tells us that Levi Matthew left all, rose up, and followed him. This was the happiest day of his life. But the Pharisees and priests watching all this were not happy.
Well, will you look at that? It's just as I told you. This Jesus picks his friends from among sinners and tax collectors. You'd think that a man who speaks of God so much would be more careful.
This Jesus certainly has little respect for our laws. Look who's following him. Fishermen, the rabble, and now a tax collector.
And he says he's doing the work of God. Now, come on. We'd better follow him and see what other laws he breaks.
We'll find something to stop him with, and he must be stopped one way or another soon.
The calling of Matthew to be one of Christ's disciples caused great indignation among the religious leaders. It was an offense against the religious, social, and national customs. But as for the new disciple himself, he was so overjoyed, he wanted to give a special party for his friends and invited Jesus to be his special guest.
The party starts in an hour. How's the stew coming?
Very good, Master.
Where's the fresh bread?
Just coming out of the oven, Master.
What happened to the fresh fruit?
In the cellar, Master.
Good, good, good. Let's see, what else do we need? Some flowers. Marcus, send the boy to pick some hollyhocks. They should be blooming by now. Or some wild roses. If nothing else, stop by the farmer's stalls and buy some garden flowers. A lot of flowers. We've really got to brighten up this place.
Yes, sir. We'll do that right away, sir.
Let's see what else. I'd better visit my friends and make sure they're coming. They can't miss this party. They better not miss this party if they know what's good for them. Marcus, are the musicians here yet? Make sure they get here in time.
Yes, sir. They'll be here. You'd think the king himself was coming to this party.
There's Joad, the fruit seller. Joad. It's almost time for the party.
You expect me to go to your party at your house?
Why not?
You're a tax collector. You and your house are not proper places for a law-abiding Jew.
I'm no longer a tax collector. Now I follow the teacher Jesus.
I wouldn't be seen in your house, Levi Matthew, no matter who you follow. Now go away. You're hurting my business.
But I... Fine. I guess I've earned the reputation of being the most hated man in Capernaum. But I'm not a tax collector anymore.
Come on, two. Let's roll a two.
Woo! Snake eyes.
Just a lucky break. Here's the money. Hey, look, here comes Levi Matthew. Hey, Matthew, what's up?
I want you to come to my party.
A party?
Hey.
Sure, hey, you always throw a great party.
Yeah, we'll be there. When?
Well, we have to get dressed up and look respectable.
Yeah.
Look, the party starts in an hour. It's in honor of a special friend.
Perhaps a rabbi from Jerusalem. Or a Pharisee with long robes will entertain us by reading from Moses.
Come and find out. You can bring a few other friends.
Hey, you mean I can bring my Jezebel? Woo-hoo, what a time we'll have.
A time you may never forget.
So Matthew invited his friends. Since the teachers, priests, and most other citizens of Capernaum would have nothing to do with a tax collector, his friends were gamblers, outcasts, tax collectors, and others whom the priests and Pharisees called sinners. It was a party that would be remembered for a long time in the city of Capernaum. Matthew's house was crowded that evening like it hadn't been for a long time. Outside, several Pharisees and priests waited and watched.
Psst. Do you really think Jesus will go in there?
We'll soon find out.
Do you know what kind of people are in there?
People from the gutter of Capernaum. If Jesus does go inside, you can be sure his reputation is as good as ruined. A respectable person wouldn't go near him after that.
Well, here's our answer. There's Jesus and his followers now. Look, even his disciples don't really want to go inside.
But they'll go where their master goes. See, I told you, they're going inside.
Good. We'll just wait right here. Sooner or later, his disciples will come outside, and when they do, we'll be able to talk some sense to them.
If we can get Jesus' disciples to have doubt about him, it will help to undermine his power.
Master, do you really think we ought to come to this place?
Peter is right, Master. I'm afraid respectable people won't come near us if they ever find out we attended a party like this.
These two are people the Father has called.
But, Master...
Master, you've come. I'm so glad you've come to my home.
You did invite me.
Of course. Come in. Come in. I'm anxious for you to meet my friends and for them to meet you. Follow me.
Quiet, everyone. Quiet. I wish to introduce our honored guest, Jesus of Nazareth.
Jesus of Nazareth?
It's the rabbi from Nazareth.
He's come to Matthew's party.
I can't believe it. Come to people like us. We have our own rabbi. It's Jesus.
Master, speak to us. We've heard so many things about your wisdom. They'd never let us get close to you before. Master, we want to hear your words for ourselves. Tell us about the kingdom of God.
Friends, the kingdom of God is at hand, and it is prepared for all people who hear the word of God and do it.
Let me tell you a story.
Here was Jesus seated as an honored guest at the table of the hated tax collector. By his sympathy and social kindness, he showed that he recognized the dignity of humanity, and men longed to become worthy of his confidence. Upon their thirsty hearts, his words fell with blessed life-giving power. New impulses were awakened, and the possibility of a new life opened to these outcasts of society.
That was a wonderful story. Do you mean that God loves us? Master, do you mean that we can come back to God?
It is my Father's will that everyone who sees his Son and believes on him should have eternal life. Let me tell you another story. A woman has 10 valuable silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and look in every corner of the house and sweep every nook and cranny until she finds it? And then won't she call her neighbors and friends to rejoice with her? In the same way, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God when one sinner repents.
Master, you have spoken words to our hearts. I, for one, feel like a lost sheep that has been found, or a lost coin that has been found.
I tell you, Matthew, there is rejoicing in heaven over you.
Many at Matthew's party had given up, thinking there was no hope for them. But now they saw how much God loved them and wanted them to love him. Indeed, it was a magnificent party Matthew arranged for his friends and Jesus. But outside Matthew's house, the Pharisees and priests were waiting for their chance.
Listen, it sounds like the party's almost finished.
Yes, and these people are starting to come out. Mm-hmm. Some of them seem very different, peaceful.
Yes, the words of Jesus have drugged them. Ah, but look, there are some of his disciples. Let's go. Yeah. Pardon me, good sirs. Aren't you the disciples of Jesus?
Good sirs, we have been very interested in learning more about your master, for he often speaks words of great wisdom, and no one can deny the miracles he does.
But why, if he speaks so much about God, does your master eat with sinners and tax collectors?
Those people in there, they're notorious in this town. Our law tells us stay away from them, never go into their house or eat with them. That makes one unclean.
No, if your master were a true rabbi, he would associate with more righteous people, not these outcasts.
Well, dear rabbis, here comes the master now. Apparently he heard you, so I'm sure you'll get the answers to your questions.
Well, I...
He's
not reasonable like you, good men.
Let me say something to your questions, rabbis. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Go and learn what that text means. I require mercy, not sacrifice. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
You confuse me with your words.
We know the law, and you and your disciples break it.
We will report you to the council in Jerusalem, Jesus of Nazareth. One of these days you will go too far.
You've already gone too far, eating with those sinners. Come on, Eliezer. Let's get away from this rabble before we become polluted.
We would never have come this close except to protect our laws.
The Pharisees were silenced for a time, but only became more determined in their hatred for Jesus. Now the disciples of John the Baptist were at this time in great sorrow. Their beloved teacher was in prison, and they passed their days in mourning and fasting. They were quick to notice that Jesus and his disciples did not share their sorrow by fasting. No doubt encouraged by the angry Pharisees, these disciples came to Jesus questioning his ministry.
Master, we've been watching your disciples and we are puzzled.
What is the problem?
Well, we've noticed that your disciples no longer fast as we do.
Let me ask you a question, friends. Do happy men fast? Do wedding guests go hungry while celebrating with the groom?
Of course not.
The time will come when the bridegroom will be killed, and then they won't want to touch any food.
I don't know what you mean.
Nor do I.
Let me tell you a story. No one tears up unshrunk cloth to make patches for old clothes. You know what will happen? First, the new garment is ruined, and then the old garment isn't helped when the patch shrinks and tears out again.
We understand that.
And no one puts new wine into old wine skins. What would happen if they did?
The new wine would burst the old skins.
That's correct. And both the skins and the wine would be ruined. New wine must be put into new wine skins. But no one, after drinking the old wine, seems to want the fresh and the new. The old ways are best, they say.
Through these stories, Jesus tried to teach both his disciples and the disciples of John the Baptist a very important lesson. Jesus did not come to fit the truth into the laws and traditions of men. He came to show God's love in a new, powerful way. And for many, that meant they had to give up their old way of thinking. Jesus continued to tell his wonderful stories about how much God loved people and wanted them to come to him. More and more, people grew to love this amazing teacher from Nazareth. And many talked for a long time about that magnificent party at Matthew's. Yes, the despised publican became one of the most devoted evangelists, following closely in the steps of his master, Jesus of Nazareth.